Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is great to be with you on this Tuesday. And Corey Geiger of the Altoona Mirror has his own talk show in the Altoona area. And so he decided to do a March Madness bracket of who are the most aggravating sports personalities in the area. Now, Corey, this was all done in complete fun, and it's on Corey's Twitter that you do this. Well, Corey put himself as the number one seed to start things out. He put Dave Jones of the Patriot as the number two seed. So now he's trying to fill the bracket out. So, you know, he's got on there, Ron Cook, Ron Musselman, Neil Riddell. I'm trying to think who else he's got on there. And so in filling the bracket out, he put me as a 12 seed. I thought, oh, great, I'm a 12 seed. So I thought, okay, so I'm a 12 seed. I should have had a far more aggravating year. Let's start with that. That's one. And number two, evidently they did the voting yesterday. I lost in the first round to the number five seed. So I have to go to the press conference first and go in and explain my disappointment over losing in the opening round. It's one of those talk show for fun things. And I talked to Corey about it earlier today. We had some laughs about it. Texted back and forth a little bit about it. I told him how disappointed I was at being a 12. I need to have a far more aggravating year. But it was one of those fun talk show topics. That's all it was. Just a fun topic. And admittedly, he does more fun topics than I do. I mean, I've always told him that. You know, we all have our own styles, our own way of doing things. Sean thinks I'm a fun guy.
So this truly would fall into the category of nice guys finished last.
Well, Tori put himself up against Jacob Cowker of WTAJ in Altoona. Great. Cowker's about as nice a guy as there is on the planet.
Great young up-and-coming broadcaster and doing a great job at TAJ. He's terrific.
Oh, he's terrific. But he's about as nice as it gets. Brian Tripp, the voice of Penn State hockey. About as nice as it gets. Nate Bauer of Blue White Illustrated. These were the 13, 14, 15 seats. I'm a 12. Now, I don't want to win. At some point, you're like, I think I'd like to be knocked out of this thing. Corey told me once, and so it gets down to he and Dave Jones head to head. Oh, okay. Let's see. Tomorrow we're going to have Jeff Byers on the NCAA Wrestling Championship. So Jeff Byers on tomorrow, NCAA Wrestling Championship. So we'll do that.
Where did he end up in the seating? Anywhere?
Byers did not get on the list. Byers, a no-show on the list. Because he does a news program. He doesn't do a sports program. And, you know, the only time he does anything with sports is he does the post-game show on football locally in State College, and he does Penn State wrestling. So he did not make the cut. Bummer. And but we'll have Byers on the show tomorrow. I'm trying to think. You had Ron Musselman, Ron Cook, Mark Brennan, Jerry Valeri, DK something or other from Pittsburgh. Tripp, Bauer, yeah. So Phil Gross. So those are some of the ones he had on. It's all for fun.
Not part of a 5-12 bracket buster. Oh well.
Yeah, that's. I'm not. I'm out.
You
I
are. Mean, it's
in a, yeah, I was eliminated. Okay. I want to thank the people. I mentioned a couple of you yesterday that are throwing likes now on the Steve Jones show page, like Wayne T. Luce and Brett Hoover. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. We had a lot of likes lately, man.
We're spiking a little bit. That's great. So, yep, keep them coming. Just type Steve Jones Show in the search bar on Facebook. We'll be posting podcast links. In case you missed the show anytime live, we'll make it even more accessible to the show than ever before.
Well, I mean, now here it is, though. I mean, here's the list. I mean, these are the people that this is all Doug Byerly, Wayne Luce, Brett Hoover, Jeff Hoover, Don Marie, Wayne Rathgeber. I hope I pronounced it right, Wayne. I apologize if I didn't. Chris Rance, Annette Barnasconi, Gino Caprio, Joe Putnam, DJ Mapes, Keith Shaw, Gary Hoke, Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report, Paula Devine, Bruce Bickle, Mark Kibler, I mentioned Richard Liebarger, Bud Yost, Michael Reed, Marissa Berry, thanks so much, Kristen Barzona, Lonnie Dawes, Jed Donahue, Cooch Chu, Tom Spiker, Julie Lentz, Matt Catrillo, Donna Kurtz-Wagner. I mentioned Donna yesterday. Joe Tufts, Mike Schull. These are, I mean, David Diltz, Josh Block, Joe Garrison. This is a long list here of people. Ruth, I mean, these are all new ones, aren't they? From what I can tell, right?
Yeah.
Joe Garrison, Travis Baker, Travis O. Baker, Josh Gwinther, Stacy Downer, Paula Austin Hubler, Ruth Ann Mingle. The list just keeps going. Dave Benner, Hugh Bloom, Melissa Zimmerman Thomas, Matthew Dixon, Christopher Simonton Jr., Adam Moser, Joseph Cromus. This is great. Dee Connors, Bruce Annis, Mary Lynn McGinn, Fred Parnell, DeWitt Bayou. All the way through, it just keeps going and going. Wow, that's a long list. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks for all the likes. Wow, cool. That is great to have everybody on board like that. Very, very nice. Well, as soon as we got Sean in here, we got a whole bunch of likes. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Matt Leon, KYW today in Philadelphia. As we continue in the anti-IndyCar zone on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Couple notes here, and then we'll get Matt and Leon on, then we'll get Rich Scarcella and Greg Pickle on the show today. Jeff Byers tomorrow. So we got a big lineup. We'll have a guest each in the next 3.5 hours on the show. One is the NIT
in the NCAA tournament. I'll talk about that in a moment. We'll start with Martavis Bryant, out a year now for the Steelers. This is a sad situation. Sean, this is your team, and he can't. When people can't get out of their own way and really do need help, it's sad. He needs help. And it sounds like he's going to get it, but he needs help. And I guess part of it is depression and part of it's drugs.
And this may have a lot to do with the Steelers last week bringing in a much more down the field threat in a tight end in Ladarius Green. Because I think the team, I think, knew the writing was on the wall that 1 year suspension was coming for Bryant.
Well, yeah, but a tight end doesn't do that for you. That doesn't do it. Right. I mean, you got to come up with it. Yeah, I think it's more they re-signed Darius Heyward-Bey. That, to me, is more of a tip-off. I mean, that's Bryant's spot. But it's sad what's happened with him. Very sad.
He has so much potential.
Yeah, but so does Josh Gordon. And Josh Gordon had to sit out a year. And the Bryant situation is just a bad situation where, I mean, it's nobody's fault but his, but at the same time, you can tell he needs help. He's going to get help, but he does need help. And it's a real, the Steelers had to fill, because Bryant looked like, as a talent, it looked to me as the season went, he was gaining a little more consistency. And now he has to sit out an entire year. And who knows in the end what that will mean for him career-wise. But supposedly he suffers from depression. They say he's at a crossroads of his professional life and he needs to understand significant changes need to occur in his personal life if he wants to regain his career as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Okay. That was from General Manager Kevin Colbert. And what's interesting is Bryant decided not to appeal the suspension. It is related to NFL drug testing. Josh Gordon also got a year. Now he's about to come back. And they say that his agent says he's fighting depression and plans to enter a rehab center on Sunday for evaluation. And according to his agent, it's one of the biggest cries for help that he's ever seen, and it hurts. He said, it hurts us to see this. He's 24 years old, and he's got to get it right, whatever it is. If you talk to anybody's family that has depression, they will tell you the same things, that the despondence, the withdrawal, the head-in-the-sand despair of just trying to cope. He only played this past year in 12 games, and he still had 50 receptions for 765 yards and 11 touchdowns. And there you go. That's a hard one. I mean, that's a hard one because there are more issues, there are more layers to this onion to unpeel. And you hope for his sake he's able to turn his life around. The heck with football, just let him turn his life around. Now, football probably is going to be an avenue to turning his life around. That has to be the carrot that is dangled in front of him in order to keep him going. But he's got a year now to somehow settle this thing down. Florida Gulf Coast and Fairleigh Dickinson tonight at 6:40, opening game of the NCAA tournament. Then a good one should be Vanderbilt and Wichita State in the 11 seed matchups at 9:10, both in Dayton tonight. One note on the NIT. If you notice, the CBI and the Vegas 16, I don't want to include the CIT. The CIT is a mid-major, the small conference tournament. There are no major teams that would ever play in the CIT because it's designed to be for smaller schools. It is not designed for major schools. The CBI and Vegas 16 are designed for bigger schools. Not one Power 5 conference team selected to go to the CBI or the Vegas 16. Now, the Vegas 16 will be 8, and they'll all be mid-majors. It makes you feel, it makes you wonder if the Vegas 16 tournament got squeezed out a bit. Kansas State, Penn State, Northwestern, NC State, Stanford, UCLA, and Colorado State all ahead of time said no to postseason play. Each made that declaration on Sunday night. Boise State made its declaration yesterday. And everyone thought for sure Boise State was going to Vegas to play at Mandalay Bay. No. They looked at the field, didn't like it, thought it was going to be counterproductive for them, decided not to go to postseason play. One quick note about the NIT, and I say this with all due respect to Bucknell and Bucknell fans, because they've got a big game coming up tomorrow night at Monmouth at 7:30, 7 o'clock the airtime with Doug Birdsong from New Jersey. So I am going to say this with complete respect, and I hope everybody understands where I'm coming from with this. There are 32 spots in the NIT, which is obviously the preferred sub-tournament of everybody. Everybody loves, and Kevin was a proponent of this for years on the show, everybody loves the little guy. They love the mid-major guy. Give the mid-major guy more love. Give the little guy more love. Correct? Sean, you'd agree with that. I think most people feel that way when it comes to like sports like the tournament. But here's the problem. You love the little guy to see them get their just due. And they've earned their just due. But now here's the problem. Once they get their just due, you don't want to watch them. You'll watch them if there's a great foil. When I was there, in Philadelphia the night that Florida Gulf Coast beat Georgetown. Perfect. It was Georgetown. You know, it doesn't matter if John Thompson or John III's coaching them. It's still Georgetown, and people like have their opinions on Georgetown. And Florida Gulf Coast beat them, and the arena loved it. And then Florida Gulf Coast beat San Diego State, and the arena loved it. And then Florida Gulf Coast went to the Sweet 16 and got the lowest rated Sweet 16 game of anybody. What's the lowest rated Final Four game in the last 15 years? Butler against Virginia Commonwealth, VCU. Two Cinderella mid-majors going through the field. In fact, VCU in 2011 had to win an extra round because they started out in Dayton. Once they play each other, people don't want to watch. They're looking around saying, where's the Duke game? And I'm just talking about viewing habits here. I'm not making a commentary. Now, the commentary is this. The NIT's got to be careful that half the field isn't always going to be teams people don't recognize or won't watch on TV. Just throwing it out there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk to Matt Leon in a few moments from KYW in Philadelphia. Still to come, Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle. And Greg Pickle from PennLive.com of the Patriot News. This day in sports history. 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings played their first game. They were the first professional baseball team. I would assume, wouldn't you, that the other team they were playing was professional too? Maybe not. 1912, Cy Young, at an emotional press conference, announced his retirement from baseball. I don't know if it was emotional or not. I threw that in there. 511 wins? Never be broken. He also is the all-time leader in losses, too. In 1962, Wilt Chamberlain finished the NBA season with 4,029 points in 80 games. That's slightly better than 50 points a game. Wow. Oh, man. 1969, Bob Beamon set an indoor long jump record, 27 feet, 2 3/4. Then at the Olympic Games, of course, he went 29 2.5. That stood forever. 1991, Sergei Bubka of the Soviet Union cleared the pole vault at 20 feet, first ever.
Sergei Bubka.
20 feet. Gone. That's this day in sports history. Kerry, this morning I get a text from Girardi. All it said was Spokane 161. As everyone knows who listens to the show religiously, and you should be, he and I have had this, you can't really call it a competition because I can't catch him, most arenas visited to work. I'm at 136. St. Joe's was able to get the 8th seed, and they're going to start out in Spokane. And Dick is going to cover it for the Daily News, thus arena number 161. Now, I would like to point out that arena 159, okay, we both got it. He went from 158 to 159. I went from 135 to 136 because we did games at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. Okay. Arena 160. Penn State played a game at Purdue, and the next game is going to be at Northwestern. Dick stayed out in the Midwest, and he went over and, for the heck of it, went to a game at Valpo just to get the arena. I'm telling you, there was no other reason than to cover Valparaiso basketball in the middle of January than just to chalk up the arena. And now he's going to get Spokane, arena number 161. With that in mind, we will talk a little St. Joe's basketball and more with Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What did you think of how that played out with all the seeding and everything? Now, the Villanova, I think, you know, accepted that they were going to be a two somewhere. But what did you think about the way it played out?
I think the whole field's odd, to be honest with you. I think, you know, you're looking at it locally. Someone will have, if I look at Villanova, Temple, and St. Joe's, and it's interesting, I think the team that got the best shake was Temple. When you consider the expectations going in, I mean, there were people significantly thought that if they didn't get to the conference tournament title game, they were out. And not only are they in, they were comfortably in, and they get a very winnable possibility in the first round. I mean, Iowa's a quality team, but not playing very well down the stretch. So Temple might be able to catch them there. And they get to go to Brooklyn, you know. And yes, Villanova starts in Brooklyn, but and they get the two. They really get punished for losing that conference tournament final, you know, in basically a game that was a flat-footed tie. They lose on an N1 in the final second.
Right.
And then I look at St. Joe's, who wins the A-10 tournament just absolutely after, you know, they played a very pedestrian first half in the quarters against George Washington. And then they just lap the field the rest of the way from there. And they get an 8. They get shipped thousands of miles out west. You know, I mean, Cincinnati, that's a very winnable game. Yeah. But then they'd have to play Oregon in a virtual, maybe not home game, but about as close as a home game as you're going to get in the second round.
In Spokane, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of, I mean, you're never going to make everyone happy. I get that. But a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of odd decisions. I mean, Tulsa in the field, and you look at poor teams like, you know, Monmouth and St. Bonaventure.
Let me ask you something. And from November 1st until last night, had you ever heard Tulsa's name mentioned for anything?
No, not at all.
Nobody had.
No.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like, voila,
here we are. We're going to Dayton.
And then you listen to the, you know, when they put them on these studio shows to explain themselves, and they get these softball questions and the way they contort themselves to try to explain why this, that. I mean, I look at the Monmouth team, and, I mean, they've always been a great story because of all the talk about how much fun the bench is to watch and all that stuff. But they're an outstanding basketball team, and they took everything that the tournament committee has said for years, and they went out and did it. They played one game on their home floor before January 4th. Everything on the road, tournament, neutral site, and they won a ton of games. And then all of a sudden they don't get in, and they say, well, they lost three games to teams below 200 in the RPI. So that matters more than all the rest of the things they did accomplish. You know, Monmouth this year reminds me of Drexel four years ago in 2012 when they, you know, they lost once in the CAA. They rolled everyone, got to the conference tournament game and lost a close game to a very good VCU team. And then they don't get in, and basically they get punished because they had to play a winless Towson team twice that was in their conference. You know, stuff that nothing you can do about. But right. We all know it's all what it's all about. And, you know, it's just a shame. And St. Bonaventure, I think, got a real raw deal as well.
I think St. Bonaventure more so than Monmouth, because you're talking about a team that's seven top 70 wins, won its conference regular season title, and had an RPI of 29. Hey, they didn't have an RPI of 79. Their RPI was 29.
Yeah, I don't get it. I was glad to see that the A-10 commissioner came out forcefully and basically said they got screwed. And it's just, I mean, like I said, you're not going to make everybody happy, and there's always going to be, you know, you make the field 48, people want 64. You get 64, then people want 72. Like, you can always make it bigger. But just some stuff that just is so blatantly outrageous that there's really no defense for it. Just, it's a shame, because this is such a great event that everyone enjoys so much. It's a shame it has to kind of start under this cloud of everybody just kind of looking at everything like, what's the deal here?
Villanova looked like they were a half step off against Seton Hall for whatever reason. What did you think watching that?
Yeah, it took them a little while to get the engine going, and then you think at the end, all right, they're gonna find a way to steal it. The 5 second call really cost them. They've had some games like that, and you know the if you want to look at the glass full, half full, hey, at least they got it out in the conference tournament rather than the NCAA tournament, because right. That's where they've had games like that in the NCAA tournament against opponents that they really should beat, and they just look off, for lack of a better term. I think that they gotta, as much as we can complain about the big picture draw for them too, I mean, you have to assume that they're going to be able to handle UNC Asheville.
Right.
And then the winner of Temple, Iowa, I mean, I think that's a very plus matchup for the Wildcats. Even if they get Temple, you know, in a local rivalry, you know, I mean, frankly, they're just a better team than Temple. I mean, anything can happen in a tournament, and it'll be interesting to see if Villanova comes out a little tight because they hear so much about how much they've struggled in the early rounds the last few years. You know how it is. Eventually it becomes a thing and a self-fulfilling prophecy. But on paper, you know, they should be able to get to the second weekend, in my opinion.
Right, and believe me, I've seen enough of Iowa now. I've seen them three times in person, and Villanova's better than Iowa, especially at the guard spot. That's Iowa's big problem. Iowa has two really good players in Udoff and Jock. All the other pieces around them are not, and they're backward. I don't understand why Fran McCaffrey, late game, puts the ball into Mike Gazelle's hands. Okay, if I have the ball in Mike Gazelle's hands, I'm telling him, okay, first option is Jock from the outside. Second option is Udoff 15 feet and in. You are giving up the basketball. And Temple will beat them. The problem I have with Temple is I don't think they did. I thought Temple did a lousy job of taking advantage of what should have been an exhausted UConn team.
Yeah, no, I was surprised at, frankly, how easy that was for UConn, and especially the way it played. You know, you would have thought UConn would have been rubber-legged early in the game, and the Temple would be able to, and it was completely the opposite. I mean, Temple, they've had a good year, and I think they deserve to be in the field, but they've been up and down. They've had some losses that you kind of raise an eyebrow to, situation and opponent. But I think, and you mentioned the weakness in the Iowa backcourt, could be a big, big spot for Quentin DeCozy. I think find Temple guard, he could be a big key in this one.
Expect when they go man to man, expect Clemens to be matched up on him, not Gazelle. Gazelle's on him, they ought to be take it to the hole every time. Just attack him. Clemens not so much. Clemens is probably one of the top five defensive guards in the Big Ten. That's the matchup I expect there. St. Joe's, give everybody a little read on St. Joe's, because Bembry obviously is a fabulous player, and after a mediocre semifinal, he came out firing in the final yesterday.
Yeah, and another name to watch with St. Joe's is a kid named Isaiah Miles, who is the biggest reason why they are where they are, because Bembry's been exactly what you hoped he would be after kind of his breakthrough year last year. He's done everything, you know, and he was player of the year and all that. But Isaiah Miles has kind of been the X factor for them. I think he averaged 10 a game last season, was relatively pedestrian, and his game has just transformed this year. I think he's at like 17 points, 9 rebounds a game, has had some huge games in huge spots, gives an option off of Bembry, and it opens up DeAndre Bembry. Because one of the problems last year did a game with St. Joe's last year, if Bembry was off last year, they didn't have many options.
Right.
There wasn't many options for putting the ball in the basket. Miles gives them another one. They get great point guard play. They're just a team, when you watch them play, everyone knows their role. And they've got the two alpha dogs in Bembry and Miles up top, but they got a bunch of other guys that can hurt you if you leave them alone, and they're dangerous. I mean, I really like them against Cincinnati in the first round. That's just a tough draw where you're likely going to get Oregon out there. I think they can play with Oregon, but they would have work to do, I think, to win that game. It's just as soon as you saw them come up in that 8-9, you kind of shrugged like, oh, man, that is a real lack of respect for what they accomplished this season.
Very quickly, what kind of run, if any, is Roman Catholic getting in the city now that they're in the Final Four in the state?
A lot of excitement from the Roman people, of which I know a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of the point now that it's interesting, it seems like to me the Catholic League stuff gets a lot more attention than the state stuff does on the whole, right, around here,
yeah,
and everything's gotten swallowed up by the college basketball conference tournaments the last week or so.
Yeah, I mean, I figured that would happen because the championship game between Goretti and Roman, you figured was going to get a lot of run because of placement in the schedule, and plus it was two city teams head-to-head,
right,
instead of,
right,
like, yeah, they're playing Parkland. Hey, Greg, good for them.
Yeah. No, that was absolutely the peak, that game with Goretti. The way the hype surrounding it, the crowd that night, it was something. And I've talked to a lot of people who were there, as they'll never forget.
Right. Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again shortly.
All right, sounds good, sir. Take care.
All right, that is Matt Lee on KYW in Philadelphia. Still to come on the show today, Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News, and Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. March Madness does get underway in earnest tonight with a couple of games being played. Florida Gulf Coast against Fairleigh Dickinson, the opener. Then the nightcap is Wichita State Vanderbilt. Michigan plays against Tulsa tomorrow night. And again, just a quick show of hands. How many of you even knew Tulsa had basketball? They were not talked about by anybody. And they, you know, and I'll be honest with you, it's not it's not an issue on my part when it comes, because Frank Haith is a guy, it's an old friend of mine. He coached here. He was an assistant coach here at Penn State. I like Frank. Yeah, there have been a couple tournaments where he's coached in when he was at Miami, the Penn State cross paths, and you know, he sit about maybe 10, 15 minutes, talk to each other. So I'm happy for Frank. But it didn't make any sense. But that was 2 days ago, and now you move on. The tournament's underway, and they're going to play. You're not going to yank them out because you're complaining about it. But it sure was strange.
wrestling championships get underway Thursday. Jeff Byers on the show tomorrow. Penn State aiming for its fifth national championship in the last 6 years.
Just like they listening to just like listening to you and Jack call the football on the radio, hearing Jeff do the wrestling and having the sound down on the TV, it's just a great listen.
He's outstanding at it. And gets a tad emotional. He gets a tad emotional. Just fine. It's he's into it. I think it's one thing you'll find a lot of network announcers, for example, you know, they have to play it down the middle. They have to play it down the middle. I mean, I know when I've done Big Ten Network assignments, I've had to, whenever I've done play-by-play on the Big Ten Network, I've had to go through and I've had to think to myself, okay, did I give enough to each side? And I'll think about it halfway through. Am I giving enough to each side here? Remember the one time I really wasn't sure as I was doing a Michigan-Illinois wrestling match in Ann Arbor on BTN. And I was talking about Michigan this and Michigan that, Michigan this. You know, I had Ken Shurto did it with me, so we did it together. Midway through, I thought to myself, wait a minute, am I doing enough for Illinois? And so I shifted gears a little bit just to do that. And that's how you have to approach it. Now, as a hometown fan, you don't really care about hearing about the other side. You don't really care, do you? I mean, that, it, so, yeah, just the hometown guy. You want to listen to the hometown guy. Chandler Jones was traded by the Patriots today to the Arizona Cardinals for offensive lineman Jonathan Cooper and a draft pick. So Chandler Jones shipped out of New England. Interesting move.
If I saw correctly, Mike Wallace is now a Baltimore Raven.
There you go. He gets to torment you, 2-year deal. But that's okay. Your secondary can handle him. Okay.
See, we can get that taken care of in the draft. The way we said that last year and the year before.
if I were you, would find a church. All right.
It's Lenten season.
it's okay. He's not. I'll tell you right now. He's not a route runner. Everybody in Pittsburgh knows that. Straight line speed, got that. Route runner, no. He's not going to get away from your running routes. Did you see the numbers put out yesterday by James Franklin about body fat versus muscle gain? Put out a lot of numbers yesterday. The numbers are all from the Bod Pod. So you go in, the Bod Pod tells you what the percent you have of body fat and what percent you are muscle. I refuse to go anywhere near the Bod Pod because I fear that if I go into the Bod Pod, it'll just laugh.
It sounds like the name of an app.
A Bod Pod would just laugh. I'm not going to give you the numbers. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. Get this guy out of here. But the golf course is open. Walking, having a good time. Swinging the golf club. I got down to an 11 handicap last summer. Get to start all over again this year. But that's exercise to me. I enjoy it.